نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so we continue with our study of the book الرسالة by Al-Imam Al-Shafi. And last time we are still in the early parts of the introduction actually to the book. And last time we discussed, or we went over where Al-Shafi rahimahullah was describing the situation during the beginning, or at the time of the before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that at that time the people who were on earth were two main groups, and these two groups, one of them was people of the book who have altered the books and who were doing a lot of atrocities on earth, and who were saying that the people, the pagans are better than the believers and things like that. And the other type of people were the pagans who worshipped idols, and who made the idols that they worshipped, and who, if they did not like that idol, they threw it away and brought a different one to worship, and so on. And we mentioned, or we read what he said about those people. من حي منهم فكما وصف حاله حيا عاملا قائلا بسخط ربه مزدادا من معصيته. Which means whoever was alive among them, then his situation while he was alive was as he described, which means as Allah described him. عَامِلًا قَائِلًا بِسَخَطِ رَبِّهِ, acting and saying things that anger his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُزْدَادًا مِنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ, and that would increase to his disobedience or sinning. And we mentioned, there were mention of some ayah that could be the ones referred by Shafi rahimahullah to when he said this ayah, because he did not say which ayah he means. He says Allah describes the pagans, how they act and how they say things in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and angers him. And one ayah that was mentioned that could possibly be what he referred to, or what some ayat, are those in reference to Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Mudathir? أني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا. يعني هذا وصف حاله أنه عنيد. His description is that he is stubborn in rejecting the ayat and the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He thought and he evaluated what he should do. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. يعني all of this is description of his situation. This is sort of Muddathir, all of them. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر. So he said things, not only he acted, he said things also that lead to the wrath of or anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر. He said this is only a magic, magic to talk about or something like that. إِنَّ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. This is only the speech of a human being, it's not from Allah, and things like that. So this could very well be what Imam Shafi'i referred to, that statements like this are the cause of anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ مَاتَ فَكَمَا وَصَفَ قَوْلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ صار إلى عذابه. Which means that also, so this is how he did what he, when he was alive, and after death he will go to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says what will happen to him after death. سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرَ وَمَنْ مَاتَ فَكَمَا وَصَفَ قَوْلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ صَارَ إِلَى عَذَابِهِ. So this probably refers to the ayat starting from وَرْمِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا up to سَأُصْلِهِ سَقَرْ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ. سَأُصْلِهِ سَقَرْ. There could be some other ayat that carry similar meanings, but we're saying that this is one of them that carries all of the meanings that Imam Shafi'i is referring to when he says من حي منهم فكما وصف حاله حيا عاملا قائلا بسخط ربه مزدادا من معصيته ومن مات فكما وصف قوله وعمله صار إلى عذابه. And whoever dies, when he dies, then it is as he described his actions and his deeds that he will eventually end up in the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فلما بلغ الكتاب أجله. And this is approximately where we got last time, and then we went a little more, a little further, but in a very quick manner without explaining a lot of that followed. So he says فلما بلغ الكتاب أجله, when the book, which means the decreed time, arrived, فحق قضاء الله بإظهار دينه الذي اصطفى بعد استعلاء معصيته التي لم يرضى. Actually we went over this sentence because it's a little hard to understand from the first reading. And the decree of Allah was established بإظهار دينه الذي اصطفى, by showing or declaring his religion that he selected or chose, بعد استعلاء معصيته التي لم يرضى, after the overpowering or the rise of his disobedience that he does not disobeying him, the disobedience to him that he did not like accept subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we read this last time, I mentioned the hadith of Fayyad bin Himar al-Mujashi, which has a similar description to what's here, in which he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ عَرَبَهُمْ وَعَجَمَهُمْ فَمَقَتَهُمْ إِلَّا بَقَالَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Which means Allah looked upon earth and upon the people on earth, and he hated them except both Arabs and non-Arabs, except for some remnants of the people of the book. So after, at this time, when Allah Azza wa Jal was so angry, so بعد استعلاء معصيته التي لم يرضى, after the rise of disobedience to him that he did not like or did not accept, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فتح أبواب سماواته برحمته. At that time when this happened, when it was the worst possible time before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فتح سماواته أبواب سماواته برحمته, Allah opened the gates of his heavens with his mercy. كما لم يزل يجري في سابق علمه عند نزول قضائه في القرون الخالية قضاؤه, as it always have happened, which means in the past, في سابق علمه, in his prior knowledge, عند نزول قضائه في القرون الخالية, when his decree came down, which means he established whatever he ordained, subhanahu wa ta'ala, في القرون الخالية, in the previous centuries, قضاؤه, his decree. Now, we said this sentence has is a little hard to understand to a first look, because it has one sentence inside another sentence, and the outer sentence is saying كَمَا لَمْ يَزَلْ يَجْرِي قَضَاءُ, which means as his decree has always had happened in the past. So this is how the decree of Allah is, that so this is nothing different from the decree of Allah in the previous generations. كَمَا لَمْ يَزَلْ يَجْرِي قَضَاءُ. And then he added to it a sentence explaining this in the middle, but it made it appear as somewhat uncommon. He said, كَمَا لَمْ يَزَلْ يَجْرِي. What is يَجْرِي? How does it happen, continues to happen? فِي سَابِقْ عَلْمِي, because in his prior knowledge, because Allah knows in advance about what is going to happen. عند نزول قضائه في القرون الخالية, whenever his decree happened in the previous generations, he knew prior to that happening what was going to happen. And similarly it is now. So when this happened, when this evil was spread over earth, and Allah Azza wa Jal wanted this to change, so he decreed that he opened the gates of his mercy with the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what it means. فإنه تبارك وتعالى يقول كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. Because he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what means the people were one nation, and then Allah sent the messenger, the prophets, as bringers of glad tidings and warners. So what he means here, he gave you an explanation of the previous sentence, and this is exactly where we stopped last time. He's bringing this ayah because it shows that this is the same as he said in the previous, that his previous, that Allah's previous, what he decreed in the previous centuries or generations, it is similar to what happened when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, which is that whenever the masiyah becomes very overpowering and widespread on earth, Allah sends the messengers to clean it. So this is his sunnah, his way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, كَرَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. The people were one nation. And then they differed. There is something here that is not mentioned in the ayah, but it means that they differed and they separated and they become sinful and so on. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ وَبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. So Allah sent the prophets as warners, bringers of glad tidings and warners. Whereas in the other ayah, which he doesn't mention, from Surah Yunus, وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَاخْتَلَفُوا. The people were only one nation before, which means they were all on the true path, and then they differed. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sent the messengers. Differed means they became sinful, and they went all different evil ways. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ وَبَشِّرِينَ. So Allah sent the messengers, or the prophets, as bringers of tidings, good tidings and warners. So he says, similar to this was the situation with the last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ خِيَرَتُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى لِوَحْيِهِ. So his pick, his selected one, who was chosen for his revelation, الْمُنْتَخَبُ لِرِسَالَتِهِ, and also the one who was selected to carry his mission, the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْمُفَضَّلُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ, the one who is preferred over all of his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِفَتْحِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَخَتْمِ نُبُوَّتِهِ, he is preferred over them by when Allah selected him to for the opening of his mercy and the conclusion of his prophethood, which means he will be he and he is the last of his prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعَمُّ مَا أُرْسِلَ بِهِ مُرْسَلٌ قَبْلَهُ, and he has the most general of whatever a previous messenger came with, which means his message is prevailing over all of the previous messages. المرفوع ذكره مع ذكره في الأولى, to see how this sentence فكان, which is the مبتدا and which is the خبر in the sentence. فكان خيرته of this is the mubtada, because this, the khabar will come at the end of the sentence, very far. فكان خيرته المصطفى لوحيه المنتخب لرسالته المفضل على جميع خلقه بفتح رحمته وختم نبوته, وأعم ما أرسل به مرسل قبله, المرفوع ذكره مع ذكره في الأولى, والشافع المشفع في الأخرى, أفضل خلقه نفسا, وأجمعهم لكل خلق رضيه في دين ودنيا, وخيرهم نسبا ودارا, محمدا عبده عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he's saying فكان, as you know, كان takes a اسم and خبر, or like مبتدا and خبر, but it is the name of كان and then the خبر of كان, and the اسم of كان is, we go over it, most of this sentence, and the khabar is Muhammad, which means فَكَانَ خِيرَتُهُ مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم, and خيرته, he will also detail it some a big deal, and then مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدَهُ وَرَسُولَهُ, this is the khabar of the sentence. So كَانَ takes a مُبْتَدَى, one noun, and then another noun, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ فهيما مثلا, كان الرجل فهيما, كان الرجل مبتدا and فهيما is خبر, the man was and it could mean is also, كان كان الرجل فهيما of understanding, something like that. So here he's saying فكان, so it was that خيرته المصطفى لوحي, the one who is the best and the pick and the chosen for his revelation and for his message, المفضل على جميع خلقه, the one who is preferred over all of his creation by opening his mercy with him, that is, وختم نبوته, and concluding his prophethood, وأعم ما أرسل به مرسل قبله, which means also it is like, which means it is, what's معطوف in English, no, it's
for now.
Not the adat of atuf or anything like that. I'm saying the ma'atuf, the noun which is linked with the previous noun, so that it takes its similar position in the sentence. It's not an adjective. It's like, you know, فَكَانَ خِيرَتُهُ, yeah, or no, it can take its place. It can take its place. You can take that noun and put this noun in its place. فَكَانَ خِيرَتُهُ, or فَكَانَ أَعَمُّ مَا أُرْسِلَ بِهِ, So it could, you can take that first sentence and put this sentence in its place, or that word and put this word in its place. And he was, which means his message, the most complete of what was sent before with a for him. فَكَانَ also فَكَانَ الْمَرْفُوعُ ذِكْرُ. It was also the one whose mention is raised high. مَعَ ذِكْرِهِ فِي الْأُولَى. With his mention in the first, which means the first line, which means the mentioning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is raised in this life high, because it's mentioned together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-marfu'u dhikruhu ma dhikrihi fil ula, which means when you say Allahu Akbar, you say in the adhan, which is something that is raised high, you say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. You mention Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam next to mentioning Allah. So this is a very high honor to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his name is mentioned so high next to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-marfu'u dhikruhu ma'a dhikri, that his name or mention is raised high with his mention, which means with the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi al-ula, in the first line. Wa-shafi'u al-mushaffa'u fi al-ukhra, and the one who will ask for intercession and who will be granted intercession in the next life. Fi al-ukhra. Afdalu khalqihi nafsa, the best of his creation in spirit. وَأَجْمَعُهُمْ لِكُلِّ خُلُقٍ رَضِيَهُ فِي دِينِ وَدُنْيَا, and the most complete, the one who has gathered the most of the good manners that Allah accepted in both in religion and in life, in worldly life, in worldly affairs. وَخَيْرُهُمْ نَسَبًا وَدَارًا, and the best among them in lineage and relationship. Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and who is he? Muhammadan, Muhammad, his servant and his messenger. Wa arrafana wa khalqahu ni'amahu al-khassa, and he made us, which means Allah Azza wa Jalla made us know, wa khalqahu, and also he made his other creation know, ni'amahu al-khassa, his special favors on us, which means he made us know how bountiful subhanahu wa ta'ala was to us by sending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. Like when he said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, to you has come a messenger that he who is concerned about your what you care about and caring about you and merciful kind towards the believers. So this is one ayah which Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us of his favors by sending us the messenger, and there are many other ayahs like that. So عَرَّفَنَا وَخَلْقَهُ, he made us and the rest of his creation know نِعَمَهُ الْخَاصَّ, his special favors on us by sending him. الْعَامَّةَ النَّفِعِ فِي الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا, and also whose benefit is general in terms of deen and dunya, which means the benefit of sending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us, even though it's a special favor from Allah Azza wa Jal, but its benefit is general, encompassing our deen and our dunya, which means the one who obeys him and follows his way, he will be benefited both in this dunya and in his religion. Okay. فقال, he mentions actually the same ayah that I just mentioned, subhanAllah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, he's telling us how Allah is showing us his favors by the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, indeed there has come to you a messenger from among yourselves, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, which means it is important what concerns you, حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, and he's caring about you, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ, and he is kind and merciful towards the believers. وقال لتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها, وأم القرى مكة وفيها قومه, and also Allah said what means and so that you would warn the mother of the towns and whoever is around it. The mother of the towns is Mecca, and in it are his people, his tribe. So Allah is telling him that he sent him so that he would warn the Umm al-Qura Mecca and those who are around it as well, which means his people and the people who are around it. Okay, وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ, which means all of the people, but starting with Umm al-Qura. And Allah also, this is part of showing his favors and on the people that Allah sent him to warn them and to show them the way. وَقَالْ وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and he commanded him by saying, and warn your tribe or your family, the close ones of them. وَقَالْ وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ, and it is a reminder for you and your people, and you will be questioned, which means the Quran is a reminder for you and your people. قال الشافعي أخبرنا ابن عيينة عن ابن أبي نجيح عن مجاهد في قوله وإنه لذكر لك ولقومك, قال يقال ممن الرجل, فيقال من العرب, فيقال من أي العرب, فيقال من قريش. Okay. Now here he is reporting something from Mujahid, an explanation of this ayah. He says, Al-Shafi'i says, أخبرنا ابن عيينة, which means Sufyan ibn عيينة, he told us عن ابن أبي نجيح, from Ibn Abi Nujayh, and Mujahid, from Mujahid, one of the Tabi'een, who is known to be one of the Mufassirin of the Quran. He told us, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ, and indeed it's a reminder for you and your people, which is the last ayah that we mentioned here. قال, he said, which means Mujahid, يُقَالُ مِمَّنَ الرَّجُلِ, it will be said, which means on the Day of Judgment, from who, or which means from which tribes, from which families, from which lineage is this the man, are you, O man? فَيُقَالُ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ, and it will be said he is from the Arabs. فَيُقَالُ مِنْ أَيِّ الْعَرَبِ, and it will be said from which branch of the Arabs. فَيُقَالُ مِنْ قُرَيْش, and it will be said that he is from Quraysh. And he says, Al-Tabari also mentioned this athar or this report from Amr ibn Malik and Sufyan. So from Sufyan al-Thawri, which means up to Mujahid rahimahumullah. So it said, from which tribe or branch is that this man? And it said it is from the Arabs. From which Arabs? It is from Quraysh. And الشافعي said, قال الشافعي وما قال مجاهد من هذا بين في الآية مستغنى فيه بالتنزيل عن التفسير. Whatever he says, what مجاهد said here is clear in the ayah. It's clear from the ayah that the Quran is a reminder for you and your people, and that you will be questioned, because if he is from Quraysh, that means he will be responsible and liable to deliver the message to others. So he says, what is in this ayah is clear, and you do not need the tafsir for it, because the tanzil, which means the revelation, is sufficient in this case to give you the meaning that Mujahid is saying it from in regard to this tafsir. فَخَصَّ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ قَوْمَهُ Now he has a long discussion about the word Al-Qur'an, because Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, whenever he mentions it, he says Al-Qur'an instead of Al-Qur'an, he says Al-Qur'an. And he says that this is a correct reading of this word, that you do not make hams of Al-Qur'an.
So he would finish the Eid prayer and the khutbah and then sacrifice his animal, then he would eat. And it says, some reports say that he would eat from this, the animal that he sacrificed. So he would take some part that can be eaten raw and eat it. I don't know which, what part he would eat raw. I mean, for us, for example, in our country, it is common for people to eat liver raw. But some people dislike it, so maybe they can find, you know, some other. I mean, if they are in the inclination of eating raw meat, some people, maybe they will throw up if you tell them about eating raw meat. They can't even consider it. For us, you know, in Lebanon, it's very common for people to eat raw liver, if it is fresh, if it is just slaughtered lamb, not beef. They would not eat raw beef. It has to be lamb, and it should be freshly slaughtered and clean, of course, clean meat. And also, they would eat any part of the lamb raw, but they make some kind of dish which they mix it with ground wheat and raw meat, and they grind it so very well together that it becomes like a paste, and they eat it with olive oil and some other things. So it is possible to eat raw meat if it is clean and doesn't have any diseases and it's fresh. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. He ate from his animal on the day of Adha. And it is recommended to go one way and come from a different way to your home on the day of Eid, as the Prophet ﷺ did. He took one way and he took a different way to get to come back, as is reported by Jabir radiallahu anhu. And there are different things for the a different explanation for why this is recommended on the day of Eid. Some of the ulama say that it is probably because that way you can see more people and say salam to them on the day of Eid and make dua to them as the Prophet ﷺ did. Because if you go and come back from the same road, you probably will see mostly the same people. And also it's recommended to walk to it, actually, not to ride to it. But as you know, sometimes this is not easy. If you live 10 miles or 20 miles away from the place where the Eid prayer is performed, then to walk to it means that you will have to set off 1 day before or 2 days before to get there on time. So this is for people who is possible for them. You know, once I was giving an example, I said it is recommended to walk for the people who are close to the Madinah. I said, like Abu Salah, his house is right here. So it makes sense that he rides in a car and he comes to the masjid, and he's right next door to the masjid. And after, you know, he said, "Why are you picking on me?" I said, "You are the best example that came to my mind. You are the closest person to the masjid." SubhanAllah. Takbir is on the day of Eid. It's recommended to say takbir on the day of Eid. This is referred to or can be understood from Allah saying, وَلِتُكْنُوا الْعَدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. This is in reference to Ramadan and the conclusion of Ramadan, right? So this is talking about the Fitr. And as for Adha, Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. And He says, وَكَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَيْكُمْ. Mention Allah in a counted number of days, and so He did make it facilitated for you, which means the animals, so that you would to kabbir Allah, proclaim the greatness of Allah, say Allahu Akbar, because of what He guided you. So from this it is concluded that takbir is recommended on the day of Eid, but actually the practice of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba was to say takbir on the day of Eid, and especially the Sahaba. And there is a lot mentioned about the Sahaba. Ibn Abi Shayba reported from Yazid bin Harun, from Ibn Abi Zib, from Zuhri, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come out on the day of Fitr and say takbir until he reaches the Musalla, the place of prayer, and then until he finishes the prayer. When he finished the prayer, then he would stop saying takbir. And I don't know, I mean, he should say, you would expect him to say until he started the prayer. But maybe he was referring also to the takbirat that are said during the prayer. And this is part of it. Now Al-Albani, after once he is done with the prayer, then he would stop saying takbir. So this is contrary to what some imams do. They, when they start the khutbah, they started also with takbir. And they say that the khutbah of each should start with takbir, not with alhamd, like the Jum'ah prayer. This is a bid'ah and it has no support from the sunnah. The sunnah is to start in the same way. And as for the Eid al-Fitr, takbir ends with the beginning of the Eid prayer. The takbirat of Eid are stopped. For Eid al-Adha, one should still say them all the days of Eid until the sunset of the third day after Eid, which means the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq, because of the ayah that you heard, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ, and mention Allah on accounted days, on counted number of days. In regard to the hadith of Az-Zuhri, as we know, Zuhri did not meet the Prophet ﷺ, he was a tabi'i. So that's why this hadith is considered mursal. And Al-Albani said that the isnad of this hadith is sahih, but it is mursal. And mursal means da'if, because it does not have a connection, even though the isnad, the chain is authentic, but there is a break in the chain between the Zuhri and the Prophet ﷺ. We do not know who reported the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ to Az-Zuhri. But the hadith is reported from Umar, from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar, as recorded in Al-Bayhaqi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come out to the, for the Eid, two Eids, with Al-Fadl bin Abbas and Abdullah bin Abbas and Ali and Ja'far and Al-Hassan and Al-Husayn, Usama bin Zayd, Zayd bin Haritha, Ayman, son of Ayman radiallahu anhu. So all of his family, or many of his close family members and related individuals, used to visit him before the Eid prayer, and they would come out together from his house towards the Musalla, and he would raise his voice with Tahleel and Takbir. Tahleel la ilaha illallah and Takbir is Allahu Akbar. And he would take one way, the way called Al-Hazza'een, I don't know if this refers to the shoemakers or what. He would take one way until he came to the Musalla, and then he goes back the same way, it says here, also on the way of Al-Hazza'een, until he reaches his home. Al-Bayhaqi said this is better, this report is better than the previous one of Az-Zuhri. Al-Albani said this second report has authentic narrators except for Abdullah bin Umar. This is Abdullah bin Umar who reported, it's not al-Sahabi Abdullah bin Umar, it's Abdullah bin Umar who reported from Nafa, who reported from Abdullah bin Umar the Sahabi. So Al-Albani said all the narrators of the hadith are thiqat, are trustworthy, except for this Abdullah bin Umar. Al-Zahabi said about him that he is truthful, but there is some problem with his memorization, even though he is from the narrators of Muslim, Sahih Muslim. So such a person, you can use him for as a shahid, as a supporting narration for another narration. So it is a good support for the narration of Az-Zuhri. So because of this, Al-Albani says this hadith, according to me, is authentic, both mawquf and marfu, both the narration that is mursal, that Az-Zuhri reported, and the other one, both of them to him are authentic because they support each other. Each one of them strengthens the other narration, and both of them are slightly weak.
How is this related to
us? It's not related. I believe, I'm not sure now, I mix up these relationships sometimes, but I think Ayman is the mother of Usama.
Okay. So Zayd ibn Harith is the one who mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah. So he was the adopted son until of the Prophet ﷺ, until Allah Azza wa Jalla abrogated adoption, and Usama is his son. So he was, even though he was not a son of the Prophet ﷺ anymore, but he was very close to him. And Ayman was like she was a close woman who took care of the Prophet ﷺ in his childhood, and she was also the wife of Zayd bin Haritha, if my memory is true. And Ayman is her other son, other than Usama, from another man. Yeah. But we can verify all of these, inshallah, if we get the chance. Okay, the time, as I said, the time of Takbir on the day of Adha, Eid Adha, from the morning of the day of Arafah, actually, which means the day before Eid, until the last day of Tashriq, until the last day of Tashriq. This was reported with authentic isnad from Ali and Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. As for the wording of the takbir, then there is no specific thing reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what has been reported from the Sahaba is something like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Walillah alhamd. This is reported from Ibn Mas'ud. And sometimes they would say three times instead of two times, which means Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, three times, La ilaha illallah. And there are some other narrations, you'll find them also in my book on celebrations. Okay, so this finishes the discussion of Salat al-Eid. Yeah, let's as well, we might as well finish the last thing in this discussion of the prayer. Now, what is it? It's 8 o'clock? Yeah, spend another 10 minutes to finish Salat al-Khawf, inshaAllah. And that will end the Kitab al-Salah, the subject of Salah. Salat al-Khawf, the prayer of fear. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, if you وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. This refers to the prayer of fear, that when you are facing the enemy and you cannot complete your prayer in the normal way, then Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us what to do. If you are, this is the Prophet, if you are among them and you establish the prayer for them, then let a group of them pray with you and take their weapons, keep their weapons with them. And then when they make sujood, then let them move until they are behind you, and let another group who did not pray with you come and pray with you and also take their weapons, keep them with them, and also be alert. So according to this description, the fear prayer is only one rak'ah, because, or actually two rak'ahs for the imam and one rak'ah for everybody else. Because what he's saying is that you lead them in the prayer and a group of them come and pray with you one rak'ah, and then after the sajda, after the rak'ah is finished, let them move back and another group of them come and pray with you, be alert. So this means that half of the army will pray one rak'ah, the other half will pray another rak'ah. So, but there are other descriptions reported in the Sunnah. This is what is understood from the text of the Quran. Al-Khattabi, rahimahullah, said that the Prophet ﷺ prayed Salat al-Khawf in different ways, taking into consideration what is best for the prayer, most appropriate for the prayer, and better in being on guard. So, there are different manners of praying it, but the meaning or the reasoning behind that is an agreement. For instance, Ibn Umar reported that the Prophet ﷺ prayed Salat al-Khawf leading one of the two groups with one rak'ah, and the other group was still facing the enemy. And then they left and they stood in the place of their companions facing the enemy, whereas their companions came and the Prophet ﷺ led them with another rak'ah. ثم سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made salam ثم قضى هؤلاء ركعة وهؤلاء ركعة then each of the two groups made up one ركعة which means they made one ركعة with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they had to make up another ركعة by themselves. Okay, so that's one way that is described by Ibn Umar. So it was two ركعات for the Imam and two ركعات for everybody else. But the everybody else prayed only one rak'ah in jama'ah, and the other rak'ah he prayed by himself. And Sa'd bin Abi Hathama reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed the fear prayer, led his companions in the prayer of fear. He made them line up behind him, two lines, and he led the ones who are closest to him, the line, the row which was right next to him, he led them with one in one rak'ah. And then he stood, and he continued to stand until those who were behind them prayed one rak'ah. Then they came forward, and those who were in the front, they moved back, and he led them with one rak'ah. And then he sat until those who were late prayed, made up their rak'ah, and he made salam. See what it is? You know, he had two rows of people behind him. So he prayed one rak'ah, and the people right behind him, they followed him in that rak'ah. The others behind them, they were guarding everybody, so they did not move. They were just watching. Okay? So after he finished that rak'ah, he stood up, and then those who prayed with him moved back, and how did it happen? And then he stood up, and then those who were standing behind in the second row, they prayed a rak'ah by themselves. Okay, so he was standing and they were praying. Now he and the others with him in the first row, they are facing the enemy, so they are guarding, while the others behind are praying. Now after the others who are behind finish their first rak'ah, they move to the front, and those in the front, they move to the back. And he led the ones in the next to him now in one rak'ah, and he sat down. And he did not make taslim, he waited for, he's still, they are sitting, but they are facing the enemy, and the ones behind now who were guards, now they can pray. So he gave them the chance to pray the second rak'ah that they missed by themselves. And then after they sat, then he made salam with everybody together. The third manner, Jabir reported that he prayed with Rasulullah ﷺ Salatul Khawf, and he lined them up in two lines or two rows. One row was behind Rasulullah ﷺ, and the enemy is between us and the Qibla. So the enemy, we are facing the Qibla, and the enemy is in front of us. So the Prophet ﷺ said takbir, and all of us made takbir. Then he made ruku', and all of us made ruku'. Then he raised his head, and we all of us raised our hand. Then he made sujood, and the row which is next to him made sujood with him. But the row that is behind, the second row, did not make sujood. They stayed standing, remained standing, watching the enemy. Then after the Prophet ﷺ finished the sujood, and فَنَخَذَ السُّجُودِ وَقَامَ الصَّفُّ الَّذِي يَلِي, and the row which is next to him stood up, then the second row that did not make sujood yet went down for sujood, and they then stood up. Okay, then the back row came to the front, and the front row went to the back. And then the Prophet ﷺ repeated the same thing again. He made ruku'ah, all of them with the two rows, and then they raised their head, all of them together. Then they went to the sujood, only the Prophet ﷺ with the first row, whereas the second row was still facing the enemy. And then after the Prophet ﷺ got up from sujood, the row behind, the second row, then went for sujood. Then the Prophet ﷺ made salam with everybody together. So they are somewhat similar to each other, you know, the two descriptions, except that in the first and the second description, the one just before this, the second and the third are similar, except that he said that Jabir's report, they did the ruku' with the Prophet ﷺ, and the report before that they did not do anything with the Prophet ﷺ, but they prayed the whole thing by themselves while the others watched. So, I mean, they are very similar. And maybe Allahu A'lam, as some ulama said, as you heard from Al-Khattabi, that this depends on the battle situation. In some battles, you know, the situation is so severe that you need to have people alert all the time. They cannot even make ruku'ah. But in some other times, it's possible for them to make ruku'ah, so they make ruku'ah while with the imam, and then after that they wait for the others to finish their first rak'ah before they do their join the jama'ah for the second rak'ah. So Allahu A'lam, this is something that is not commonly, that does not happen commonly, and if it happens, I don't know, people will need to make their quick ijtihad to decide what they have to do in that situation. Okay, so we stop here inshallah. And as I said, this completes the subject of the prayer. This is 1 hour exactly. So we have a total of last time 1 hour, and this time is 1 hour. And we had before 19 1 hour tapes, so that will make 21 hour tapes. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.
Such and such principles, it is established, it is the correct teachings of Islam as understood and practiced by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So anybody who follows these teachings, then he is part of it, and not the other way around. Okay. And those people follow each other in carrying this da'wah and delivering it to one generation after another. As the Prophet ﷺ said, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُونُهُ يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْتِنِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Which means this knowledge is carried from every generation by the most trustworthy among them. They remove from it, they clean it from the tahrif, the misinterpretations or changes, the changes of the excessive ones. وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْتِلِينَ, and the presumptions of the unrightful people, the people, the unrightful followers or carriers of the knowledge. Like some people say, they pretend that they are upon the da'wah and they start spreading some teachings. So there's some wrong teachings, so they clean it from such pretense. وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and the misinterpretations of the ignorant ones. Which means the deen is always in the process of cleansing and refinement through the time. In every generation Allah sends people to clean it from any dirt and impurity that it catches or it's put into it. And this knowledge in the past and the recent times have been carried by great ulama who revived the sunnah and suppressed the bid'ah, and they indicated that which has been brought into the deen and does not belong to it or is not part of it. For example, among the examples of such great noble individuals through the time are Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, who stood in the face of those who claimed that Quran is a created thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had a great strong stance in their face. And he, this showed his courage and his firmness upon the truth. And he remained in prison for 3 years because of this. And among them is Shaykh al-Islam Ahmad bin Abdul Halim bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He came out at a time when the bid'ahs became widespread and Islam became a stranger among the Muslims, and the Muslims' words or the Muslims' unity was separated, and there were so many parties that differed from the guidance of the Salaf in creed as well as in furu'a, in the branches of the of fiqh and of the religion. Blind imitation and stagnance, mental stagnance or something like this, stagnation became prevalent. And also from outside the Muslim societies, also the enemies of Islam became gathered against Muslims, and they attacked the Muslims in their lands. So the Tatars came attacking them from one side and others from another side. And so during this time Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah lived, and he placed or played an important role in knowledge and as well as in practical actual jihad in against the enemies of Islam. And there are many of his students who carried his teachings and his banner after him, such as his student Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and Ibn Kathir, and Al-Hafidh al-Zahabi, and Al-Hafidh Ibn Abdul Hadi, and others. And also among the ulama of Islam who had this important stance in recent times is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. He was born in 1115 Hijri, and right now we are in 1423. So this was like 300 years ago. So he was born 300 years ago. وَنَشَأَ فِي جَوْلِ عَلْمِينَ. He lived in a scholarly environment. And he was a smart boy. He memorized the Quran before he was 10 years. And he studied the Hanbali fiqh from his father. And he used to read and study a lot. And he studied especially the books of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim. And he went and visited the ulama of the adjacent countries to learn from them. He went to Al-Basra, Al-Ihsa, Mecca, Al-Madina, and he met the ulama from all these places. I think this is about finishing here. So we have not gotten into the discussion of the... There's a lot of discussion, a number of pages about Muhammad al-Wahhab. And I believe, you know, it's not that, you know, we glorify individuals, but we have to know about this person, because, you know, we are, whether we like it or not, many times we are attributed to him. They say, you are Wahhabi. If you apply some sunnah, they say, you are Wahhabi. And who is this Wahhab, Muhammad al-Wahhab, who they say that we are part of him? And we are not part, we agree with him on a lot of things. And he tried to revive the sunnah, and he was successful in many respects. We disagree with him on some issues, and we are not blind followers of him or any other alim after the Prophet ﷺ. But we still respect him and love him and consider him as one of the...